March 16th, 2016, Arizona City Fire District.
I call this meeting to order. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is our regularly scheduled board meeting, Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. Present are Bill Bailey, Betty Harding, Roger Taylor, Steve Ross, and Chairman Tim McCain. We do have a quorum present. Yes, we'd like to welcome you. Thank you for being with us tonight. And we'll just keep moving right along. Fire Chief, we'll turn it over to you.
Great, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish to have a copy of the Fire Chief's report in front of them. Again, I will go through each of the 41 items. I'll just highlight a few here for the month as we're going through. So under manpower number one, we have one additional member that started with us full-time this month. That's Marcus Brewer. Marcus, you can stand up, please. Marcus is one of our firefighter paramedics that's joined us through here. I also wanted to recognize the other new member we had, our new another firefighter paramedic, Dita Brady. She was with us last month, but we kicked out on a call right as we were starting to do it as well. And so I wanted to welcome both of those. So those are our two full-time firefighter paramedics working on C shift and A shift for us moving forward from there. I also want to recognize Jason Clifkin. Jason is one of our community service members. He's definitely an extended community service member. He's with us every day, working hard, and he's going to help me start an Explorer program here in Arizona City, which we haven't had officially, so he's going to help us with that. So thank you for that. We have Captain Hemmings is running the shift today, and another firefighter EMT, Jose Serrano, who's going to join us in our paramedic program here coming up that I'll talk about a little bit later as well. Number two, we still do have two shift openings for shift leads to go on our 24-48 rotational schedule, and we're working to fill those with the right people to move this organization in the right direction as well. Under facilities and equipment, number three, Dean Crown is in the audience today. He's been helping us with his grandson, the 1942 engine. We're getting close. It's officially running now. It's just the stopping part we're working on. So Dean's working on that now. So
we do need that.
How many pair of shoes?
It's a little bit worn out. But anything else you want to say on that at all, Dean?
Or? It's not a quick process. You know, you park something for 25 years. We got a lot of things wrong. But, you know, the brakes. That's what we found out. Chief said, get it ready for the brakes. Get it running. Yeah, they're locked up, and then we checked the master cylinder that was empty, and the lines are bad. There's some work.
Dean and his grandson have done a great job. Every day he comes in, I double his pay. But it's about that count. So,
there you go.
But yeah, besides a few lunches that I've been honored to buy them, they have done a tremendous job. He both and his grandson, Bruce, continue to work on it. There for a while, we had five or six guys from the community helping us as well get it together. So it's truly been a community project. Nice. The goal of that, again, is use it for fire prevention. Dean's going to be part of Auxiliary. He had many, many years here as a full-time member, many years as our safety officer, bringing his past experiences in from his mining experiences, and then now to Auxiliary. So Dean has taken this project on himself. We bought some parts, but besides that, it's been Dean and his grandson. So I just want to say thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
So he's done a great job on that. Dropping down to training number six. On the 15th, Pepper and I went to the Pinal County Treasurer's Special District meeting in Casa Grande. This was required training for all the special districts, so the water districts, fire districts, all the special districts get together. It's hosted by Dodie Doolittle, who's the county treasurer. This is her last meeting for her 21st year, I believe it was. She's retiring, so a great program to tie together. Assessor Wolf was there, so Prop 117 was a big product of the meeting. Again, that's the triple whammy for us of the recession, the Great Recession of 2008. the 5% cap on our district, and then the 325 cap every month on that. So we talked to that in great detail. Also talked to some banking processes. It was co-hosted by Wells Fargo as well. Number eight, the district training for the month is ladder safety and minimum company standards. So Captain Hemmings and the group is running us through that. So every day this month, we're throwing ladders to get comfortable in as well. And then number 10, a big one for us that I mentioned a little earlier, starting May 2nd, after long negotiations with Wizard Education, we are actually bringing a paramedic training program in-house here to Arizona City. So it will meet every Monday and Tuesday for 8.5 hours a day, and it'll go for 11 months. So it does a couple things for us. It allows our people to train while they're on schedule, and for those that are off schedule, they don't have to drive all the way up to Phoenix to be able to do that. It's a very aggressive, paced element style learning, and if we have 10 to 11 people, we will physically get an instructor here every single day. If we're less than 10, we'll probably get an instructor, live instructor every third week, and then get teleprompted instructors from there. So Wizard Education brings all their media in as well to help us train on that.
How far have you reached out for students?
We've gone, last night I met with the Pinal County Fire Chiefs Association and offered that training to everybody in Pinal County, and we've offered it to Pima and Maricopa as well. I don't think we'll get a lot for Pima, Maricopa, because it's also being offered in Sedona and down in Tucson, but it went to all the fire districts in Pinal County last night.
Nice.
Then going to page 2, dropping down to community service, number 20. During the month, we assisted 18 citizens with smoke detector challenges, helped change out batteries. They bought new detectors if they were out of age or out of service. And again, this helps residents that were not able to either perform that work or be able to reach it as well. 21, on February 20th, we hosted our first ever Arizona City Fire District movie night out back, a 36-foot screen by 24-foot wide. We showed Pixar's Planes, Fire, and Rescue. We had approximately 200 people attended that first event. And then on March 13th, we had our second movie night. It was a reschedule from the Friday before due to high winds. It was a John Wayne Western Rio Lobo out of Old Tucson as well. And we had about 50 people for that with the change of event dates. On April 8th, we were showing American Graffiti. We're going to have a small car show before for residents here in Arizona City. And we're going to have a DJ and a little sock hop before the movie as well. And again, we're going to continue to have these events throughout the summer. And again, it's just another community event for us here in town, and it helps us promote our fire prevention activities and tie together to get the smoke detectors and kids in school as well. So I know a few of you have attended the movies as well. You know, I think it's a really great event. It's really impressive on the screen to see that. I mean, 36 to 40 feet tall, 24 feet wide. I know, Chairman, you were there as well. I know, Member Bailey was there as well, the time together. I can't remember if I saw Steve. So, but it's a great time. Again, it's here in town and free of charge. You get to the community. We usually do some sort of a skit, color a picture for popcorn or lemonade or something like that. But we've had good responses for that, and it just gives us another fire prevention activity for the month and an event.
I hadn't seen anything like that before. I didn't even know that kind of thing was available. That is the slickest operation I've ever seen. And the picture quality is very good for that. That's a nice attraction. It's a nice attraction. Good job.
We're going to buy a Lycra screen, too, for the summer when we know it's going to get breezy, so we can do it inside the firehouse, because that's the only susceptibility to that giant screen is wind.
Sure, and that's a training screen.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Yeah. Community service training / fire prevention.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to have those every month as well moving forward. On school groups and events, down to 28, on the 10th of March, we participated in the ACES reading nights. Whoever the on-duty crew is, we go to the library and read to the kids for an hour and a half. Dina was part of that. Dina stepped up and read two books that night. And the second one was, how many pages? A bunch.
Holy smokes.
Thank goodness it was short. And then the poor little kid was sitting in front of all of us with the smile saying, please read this. And we all read, and he was still sitting there and said, do you really want to read that? He went, yeah, I said, okay, it's Dr. Seuss. Right? I think 50 pages, and it probably had between 20 and 30 words.
Perfect.
Per page. So I was like, can I get myself into it?
And did any of the words make sense? Is the problem.
Did the book have big fonts too?
No, it was only about It wasn't very big, and, but you know what? He was happy. He had a smile, and it was just
there you go.
To tell the very end and read it, because as soon as I was done, he's out.
But this is part of the 6 times we're at the school every month, between drills, activities, academic nights, reading nights. Whoever the on-duty crew is goes over with me, and I typically read 2 or 3 books, and a crew comes on. They pray for a call to get out, because I tell you, that group can be tough. So we have a lot of kids that don't want you to miss a word, and it's amazing how challenging those books are when you got to turn it towards the kids and try to read it. But again, it's an activity for us for fire prevention to get to the schools. I know Tim's wife was there and has been there every time as well, too. So it's just a way for us to give back to our community as well. 31, on April 1st, we were hosting the annual Boy Scout Indian Fry Bread Taco Dinner Night. That'll be for 5 to 7, so if you haven't had a chance to participate in that, that's been an event that we've done here in support of the Boy Scouts of Arizona State before. And page 33, on the 2nd, we'll be attending the Boys and Girls Club fundraiser of Arizona City at the golf course. We'll be doing blood pressure checks, fire prevention education, and we always utilize our ladder to do the ball drop for the Boy Scouts, I'm sorry, for the Boys and Girls Club fundraisers. Then on number 34, on the 9th of April, we'll be doing the health and safety fair. It's going to be hosted by Triad, and it's at Tim's church there, Freedom Family Church, from 8 to 1. And then on the 16th of April, we'll be hosting the Chamber of Commerce's Spring Fling event here at the firehouse from 8 to 2.
What's that?
It's like a craft bazaar where they have 40 vendors will set up out back, and it's just another community event for Arizona City. It's jewelry, lotions, knickknacks, that sort of thing.
Yeah, November last time or something like that.
On 4-2, we drop the balls. That's because they do night golf. We do that night golf that night.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun.
Is that a fundraiser?
You're blind.
I think golf better than art.
Yeah, I'm better.
But that's a good event that we support as well, too. And then 36, on the 16th of April, we'll be hosting our next spaghetti dinner here at the firehouse from 5 to 8. So I know every one of you helped with that. Again, we greatly appreciate that help. It's amazing to start serving spaghetti dinner and how 2 hours goes flying by. From the last time we did this, we made $1,600 for the association, and that goes right back into the community for the $8,000 for the fireworks, and about the $75,000 to $8,000 we spend at Christmas time for the Adopt-A-Family program. There are contracts and business issues. The only one I want to highlight is number 39. On the 6th of April, we're going to meet with Airbeam for the satellite television project. I'm going to continue to work with them to see if we can get the dish down a little bit. It's a 30-foot by 24-foot tall dish. It's on a 12-foot tall platform. But again, this is no cost to us, but a revenue stream coming back in. So we'll get a monthly stipend, and as they get more and more customers, we'll get 50 cents per customer as well moving forward. And that's all I really want to highlight through there. I'm happy to talk about the rest of them with their question as well.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions or comments? Or
What's that number 41 to the Arizona Valley Institute for Technology?
Right, so through Cabot, we have a rider program that a student in a 2-year fire service program can come ride with us.
Right.
They get some real life experience, so when they get out of school, they know what it's like to be in a firehouse. A lot of these kids get in that program, never been in a firehouse, don't understand it, go through 2 years of training, get in a firehouse, and go, ooh, that's not what I thought this was. So we've paired up with Cabot and CAC to bring students out here to ride with us, so they get an implication of what it's really like before they finish their training. And it also gives us an extra set of hands. So we're trying to get one Cabot student and one CAC student on every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
With regards, Chief, to our training center out back here, is there anything happening with that? Is there any plans for smoke training or anything like that in the structures?
There is. What we're trying to do is get accredited through IFSAC, which is International Fire Service Accreditation Congress. If we can do that, then we can offer IFSAC training here in this classroom and charge participants, so that'll be a revenue stream. So we're trying to do some safety elements to make sure our training ground passes the safety requirements, and then put people through training to get their IFSAC instructor certification.
Great.
Right now, I'm the only one that has that. That's kind of our 18-month plan to get that up, and then we can bring that revenue stream back in as well.
Wonderful.
Anything else? That's a motion to accept that.
I can never remember when I got to have this.
Just do it. I won't tell you.
We'll agree.
Well, we're not that easy.
I would just like to say, I mean, you guys are super busy here at the firehouse and doing a lot of great things for the community, and at least from my perspective, I think it's a great thing for this community, what you guys are doing, so thank you.
Ditto.
Let's move on to staff reports, number six.
Okay, number six. So the first tab you'll have behind number six, the program is on our response time. So you'll see our 90% fractile response time was 7 minutes and 17 seconds. So that's the highest response we had in that 90% fractile response time. Our average response time was 4 minutes and 46 seconds. We're going to try to be at every scene in Arizona City less than 5 minutes. So we're doing that on a response time average of 4 minutes and 46 seconds. Again, we had some long response times with stagings that we're making sure we're accounting correctly to bring back in. You'll see that highest response time there was 10 minutes and 59 seconds. This was the third call in a row. So we went to one call, got kicked out another call, and kicked out another call. So as we kind of divide and conquered, the longest one we had was that 10 minutes and 59 seconds, which was that third call we had. And again, it's not unusual for us to have back-to-back calls. They're about 86% of our calls. And 33% are back-to-back-to-back. So that gives you kind of a breakdown of where we're going. This is our quality check to go forward for our response times. Next page you'll see is our image train response time. This is our calls from February 1st to February 29th. For the month of February, we ran a total of 100 calls. You'll see on line 19, we had one fire call. 20 is a rescue and emergency medical responses with 71. 21 false alarm responses were 4. And all others, which are the calls that don't fall in the above categories, smoke scares, fire in the area, animal rescue lockouts, were for a total of 24 for a total amount of calls of 100.
Oh, my kitty stuck in a tree.
Yes, yes. So there's a vicious dog next door that's ready to attack us. And then the third page of this process you'll see here is the breakdown of the EMS calls. So out of the 100 calls, we ran 71 rescue and emergency response incidents, 56 were emergency medicals, 11 were emergency response or assist calls, 2 were motor vehicle accidents, and 1 was a motor vehicle accident with no injuries, meaning somebody released or signed a do not treatment from that process as well. And you'll see, if you look at section 5, this is the number that's creeping up for us. This is assist individual, lift assist in the area. We had 14 for the month. We have a couple of what I'll call frequent flyers that we've gone to 3 or 4 times in a 24-hour shift to help them through the day. So they're just struggling with life, having a hard time transitioning from a bed to a chair to the bathroom and back in as well. So we're finding this number is trending up. But again, this is another one of our service calls we do for folks that are challenged in our community.
Chief, do you attribute that to our winter visitors as far as the increase?
You know, statistically, the ones we're finding are not. They're our permanent residents. It's just their aging. We have some that have moved to hospice. Mm-hmm. As they make that transition to hospice, of course, the challenges get greater.
Sure.
We have some that sons have moved away or daughters have moved away, so that crutch they had to get by, they don't have anymore.
Right.
We're just finding that number is trending up with a certain percentage of the people who are calling us.
Well, and I can see, you know, a lot of things travel by word of mouth. And I think, you know, once residents realize that, hey, you're gonna get to meet the firefighters and they'll be here, they'll use the service. So that's good. That's real good.
The challenging part for ours is if we have some addresses where we know it's going to be a lift assist from the bathroom back to the chair. And if we get that one first, and then we get a, let's say, a full cardiac arrest, if we commit resources to that, we can't clear. So that's where I'll end up dividing the crews or running myself just to clear advanced resources to get a call. So, you know, it's a lot of work at night to logistically kick those calls out. I'll give you an example. Saturday night to Sunday morning, from midnight to 0700 Monday morning, we ran a total of 7 calls. So we typically see about a 42.5-minute response per call. So you can see we're almost getting back in quarters, and we'll kick another one out and kick another one out as well.
Whom do we dispatch? Is that always EMT or?
Well, our dispatch is through Rural Metro, and we always have a full complement that goes on every call.
Okay. So we just send a truck?
Yeah, so we send four. We'll send an engine and a rescue on every call going forward. Because what happens is if we go to the far east end of the district and we kick out on a second call,
yeah,
and let's say it's a fire, I'd have to, you know, end up coming all the way back to go right back to the east side again.
Yep.
So it's really just risk mitigation through our business continuity.
On a total incident number, or because I've not been here during the down of the summer, really, do we see it drop off in the summer, or does it stay pretty constant even without the winter visitors?
It's a great question. We stay pretty constant. We're right about 4.5 a day is what we're averaging. We'll have days we'll kick out at 17, and we're averaging 100 for those 29 days.
Okay. Wow. So it doesn't matter that our winter visitors are here.
No, it really doesn't.
And what we're finding is you would think it dropped down, but what happens a lot of times, our winter visitors are leaving, and their children are moving in and staying through the summer, and they're bringing their families.
Okay.
So sometimes a house that has two from, you know, October through April, now we'll go to six from April to September.
Wow.
So we're seeing a lot of those.
Where do they go in the wintertime?
It's a good question.
The kids?
Yeah.
Snow skiing up in Washington.
Oh, okay.
Kick them to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're living in the RV outside.
At that age, they're into both heat and cold.
And then the breakdown you'll see on the last sheet for this section is just of the 70 EMS calls we had, 39 we went to no lights and siren, which is what we call code 2. Lights and siren were 29, which is code 3. And initial lights and siren we were downgraded for the area was the second one. So in all of our high-risk calls are, you know, a domestic, an assault, attempted suicide, high-risk drug overdose, these type of things, we're going to stage on all those calls. So we'll go call code 2 or no lights and siren to those as well. But you'll see that's that breakdown for the 70 calls there as well.
Good.
Good
idea.
All right. Yeah.
Is
that everything on that one?
That's it.
All right. Correspondence? Do you have any correspondence for
We did not receive any correspondence for the month.
Nobody likes us this month.
Well, I think we overloaded it with our 400 Valentine Day card.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're probably going to get some tomorrow with St. Patty's Day coming.
Yeah, we might get a few of them.
Yeah.
It'll be green and, you know, be wishing you have a green beer or something like that.
Right.
Or, you know,
right.
All right, moving on to number 8, consent agenda. All items under the consent agenda will be approved under one motion unless one of the governing board members pulls an item for further discussion. So anyone see anything in the consent agenda that we needed to discuss?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Okay.
Bill Bailey.
And
Roger Taylor second that motion.
Roger Taylor is seconding that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I believe that was all five of us.
So.
Last time I said it was all five, and then
if I may, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If you look at page 50 of your report, you'll see even with the addition of two extra people on per shift and the extra spending we're doing, if you look down towards the bottom, you'll see a total operating expenses line. And you'll see in the first column is our real spend of what we've had. So your left-hand column, I'll give you a chance. So left-hand column, I'll tell you what our real spend has been. Remember, our fiscal year is July 1st to June 30th. We spent $739,628.35. Our budget from the county this year approved for 2016-17 was $1.297,798 million, and it leaves a remainder of $558,169.65. If you look at that far right hand column, you'll see a number that says 57%. We're in our 8th month for our fiscal budget this year. Remember, we calculated our budget on 8% for a 96% spend with a 4% cushion. For financial planning, I made it at 7% to give us an extra cushion. So we'd be at 84% and give us a 16% cushion. You'll see that number is, anybody? 57%. So 8 times 7 is 56%. So we're just trending slightly above, even with all the other stuff we've done, through only spending on value add, which is our employees and our labor to prepare ourselves. We're only 1% of that, doubling our manpower, doubling our options, and spending almost 400% more on fire prevention than what we had done in the previous fiscal years.
That's great.
Awesome.
Question, but not a question because I don't completely understand it. On page 49, under salaries and wages,
yes,
we've only spent 81% and we've got 3 months to go.
So we are trending above in that category, so we'll probably end up being 111 or 112% of total spend.
All right, did we ever, and I'm going back strictly in my memory, and it should be 3 years back and not this last year, did we ever give the crew a pittance in way of an addition to their payroll? Did we ever give them raises this year?
This year, we only in categories where people have promoted or got another category or a promotion have they seen a raise. But one of the things we're looking at from our January meeting is to make our wages fair and equitable with our partners that are doing the same thing for us. And that's the financial study that I'm working on right now. So, for example, if you look at 2015-16, our total gross spend, our aggregate, was only 76% of our budget. So that's why we had a 0% increase last year. Now, if we go across through our financial plan to make everybody fair and equitable, we'll probably get up closer to 148-151%. That's why we'll ask for an increase this year. But remember, for the first time in our history, we did not have a financial increase last year. So after 11, basically, subsequent years of a double-digit raise, we've actually been able to do this with a 0% raise. But we will need that next year to be able to be fair and equitable across the board.
Anything else? Okay, number 9, call to the public. I did not receive any yellow cards, so I'm going to assume that means no one
would like to speak. Okay.
Going on to number 10, old business. We'll start with number 1 and Chief's contract.
So I've worked with legal to get the contract reviewed before we bring it to the board for approval, so that's still in the works. The second part we talked about was the life insurance part, so I'm still waiting for those costs to come in. So we could do it a couple ways. We could approve it if you so choose not to exceed an amount, or we could wait another 30 days till we have the hard cost in and vote on it that way. That's completely up to the board how you want to do that process moving forward. We're just waiting for the paperwork to come in.
What are you seeing right now for the ranges of it?
You know, it's kind of all over the board for the amount. I mean, the kind of the two tender amounts are $250,000 or $500,000. There's a couple ways you can do it through Farmers Insurance. They issue contracts at $125,000, and you can kind of stack those across. John Hancock has a standalone policy. Aetna has a standalone policy. Lloyd's of London has a standalone policy. The rate is a little bit up because, you know, I am a fire chief, but so the risk is a little bit greater. But, you know, there's anywhere from, I think the $125,000 policies were like a $37 to $51 range, something like that.
And these are term, or are they?
Term.
I'd like to see hard numbers before I make a decision on that.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Sure. All right. I'll have that for next month.
Okay.
And then we'll extend that as well, too, and hopefully we'll have the contract reviewed, and that's one part of it we'll do.
Okay. And number 2, discussion of possible action, the intergovernmental agreement for election.
So we received the IGA from the county. If we have more than 3 people who run for the board, we have to have a full election cycle, just like we would in a voting year. To do that, we need an interagency governmental agreement to move forward with that. Before I can move forward with this with Pepper, the board has to vote to have an IGA in place. For a cost-saving measure, if we only get 3 candidates, we won't have to have a full election board. We can do it here at a normal board meeting in November. So it just depends on how many people file to run. But to get that process started so the 3 positions that are up can apply, I need the board's approval to execute an IGA, interagency governmental agreement, to have the county host us as the balloting function. So I just need a motion, a second, and a vote to issue an IGA with Pinal County to handle the voting elections.
Okay. I make a motion with whatever word is used to enter into an IGA with Pinal County for the election for this year. Will that work?
That'll work.
Okay. Good one.
A second.
Okay, and that is a second by Steve Ross. And the motion was made by Chairman Tim McCain. And any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That was a unanimous decision by the board. And I think that will conclude all our old business. And there is no new business on the agenda. And our next meeting date will be Wednesday, April 20th, 2019.
2016 at 6 p.m. And the week before that, right, for the any resolutions? The 12th? Okay, so April 12th for any new business to be added to the agenda. And with that, I believe I need a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Actually, I'd like to have something on the next meeting. Did you get that already?
Okay, there's one new business that had came in from Roger after this agenda closed.
Okay.
On looking at a public safety element to the process moving forward.
Okay.
So that's for board number two.
Okay. All right.
Then we're ready.
Then we're ready?
Are we, oh, I have a question. With regards to agenda request forms, are we still utilizing those forms?
I don't know. I've never seen.
For submission? I'd like to, okay, I think we need to do that so we have a document in our board minutes as to who's requesting it. It's a form that, you know, you fill out as far as what you're requesting, what's the recommendation, what are the, you know, all that information. It makes it easy for us to, I think, reach a decision.
Do you have those documents?
I do.
They're
okay.
Yeah,
I do.
They're available.
So typically, you know, people send it to me and I'll change it to the format we need. In this case, Roger just made a verbal request and I filled it out for
okay.
him. So yeah, I'll have it in here as well.
Okay.
So we're using them. It's just, some people have done it verbally and I'll just.
Your chief does okay. a better job of staying in line.
He's much more organized than we are. All right, do I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
And that would be Betty Harding making the motion. And I, Tim McCain, will second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
For you some signatures before you bail out on me, please?
What do we think now? Everything that's in the
file. Oh, this is
Martin. What do you always tell me? Just sign it.
Yes, shut up.
Hey, your signature is supposed to be above the house.
That was part of it.
Your handwriting looks like my son's. I always thought his. Actually, his girl was like way above it. My poor Thank you, man.